Welcome to my podcast of a bit of life at the real Downton Abbey. Today, my guest is a wonderful dear friend, Sarah Morris, who is also a very respected interior decorator, part of McWhirter Morris. In fact, the lead person within this wonderful firm. And Sarah has helped me here since Geordie and I first began stewarding the castle some 20 years ago. Sarah, thank you so much for joining me today.
It's a pleasure. What fun.
I remember when Geordie's father sadly died in 2001. And then a couple of years later, Geordie and I were beginning to put our feet under the table, if you like. And I was confronted with this extraordinary home of some 250 to 300 rooms, which was painted in shades of shiny cream or shiny green, thinking, oh my goodness, where do I start? So I started, I think, with a phone call to you.
Then we met at Susanna's hen night, and you said, I'm very daunted. And I said, I'll tell you what, we're not very busy at the moment. I'll pop down. And that's where it started, actually. I thought I was coming to look at a bathroom.
Did you? Well, yes, because actually at that point in time, my parents-in-law had never lived in the castle. They had merely opened it to the public after my grandfather-in-law had died, and they lived in another beautiful house. So this was almost sort of like a sleeping beauty.
Yeah.
And it lacked lampshades and rugs, and I think the sense of home. My parents-in-law were a little bit older than Geordie and I when they'd inherited, because the sixth Earl lived till he was nearly 90. So by way of background, we inherited when we were a little bit younger. I'm not sure I'd have had the energy to do what I'm doing today if I started today. But I do remember thinking, oh my goodness, that would be simply wonderful. And of course, you'd worked and trained at Colfax and Fowler for some 20 years.
Exactly.
And I was never exactly sure what you did, but I now know a lot more about what you do. And you'd set up with James McWhirter, McWhirter Morris.
Yes, in 2005.
So. Wow, okay. So that was more or less the time. And I now know how incredibly busy you are with all your clients, but you kindly continue to help me here. We've done a lot, haven't we?
We've done an awful lot. And I remember Pat Withers, your lovely painter.
Still here.
I remember her telling me, oh, well, they used to go and see Lord Carnarvon, the Sixth Earl, every summer with the Dulux paint chart. He'd choose a colour and then they'd paint a bedroom. And that's how the maintenance happened in those days and how it's changed with you and hopefully a bit of me.
Yes, no, a lot of
we do more than a Dulux paint chart now.
We do, but what was funny was Pat, there was usually just the green or the cream colour, which I think was going back to after the Second World War, yeah, when there were those two colours, really. Pat painted the entire room in, say, green. So it was the ceilings, the coving, the doors,
yeah,
the walls, the skirting. It was extraordinary. And I think we began with Herbert bedroom. My goodness, well, we began with a lot of bathrooms too, didn't we?
Yes.
But it was a huge project.
Yes. And as we've moved forward, I think, you know, for all sorts of reasons, we have sort of eased our way into it and we're more comfortable. But I also think that there's possibly, you know, it was so daunting to start with that you didn't know where to spend your money. Whereas now one can concentrate on one project and do it really, really well rather than a bit of carpet there and a, you know, recovering a chair here. And it was all a bit like that to start with, wasn't it?
It was the worst priorities. And I think I can say that one of the first guests that Geordie and I welcomed was the late Majesty, the Queen.
I remember.
And the late Prince Philip. Mm. And I rang you up and I'm sure you had an intake of breath because it seems almost surreal. And we had an awful lot of work to do.
Yes. And not a lot of time.
And not a lot of time.
So I think we did some new curtains in the bathroom and the bedroom.
And we painted this glorious marmalade colour.
That's right.
Which is a beautiful colour. And we'd done a half tester. Oh, my goodness. And we were scrabbling around for rugs, carpets and everything to put it together.
Did we do new carpet?
Yes.
Yes.
And then we borrowed a rug from somewhere. It was all moving things around here and there. And, oh my goodness, because the private detective and the dresser was staying on the same floor, it was huge. And then another couple was staying for the same weekend, and other people coming for dinners and lunches and things like that. And then I had a call because I realised I hadn't got enough hangers that matched. It was all the simple things.
Yes, and I remember at the last minute, I think it was the week running up to the weekend, and you rang me and you said, Sarah, I need, you know, how many hangers? 60? I can't remember. And we knew where to get really nice wooden coat hangers. So we ran out in London, got them. And I can't remember how we got them down here. Did you come and collect them? I can't remember now.
We
got them there for the weekend anyway.
Yes, it was all the details, actually, and which I was sort of running through the whole time. It was because the house had not been lived in or stayed in since 1987 by Geordie's grandfather when he was sort of 90. And this was, must have been 2003. And I had stayed with my sisters for the Christmas before and found out about all the sheets that we put our feet through because they were too worn and things like that. So it was a one big mega list, actually.
But anyway, it was fun. I remember the last... Didn't you add a Robert's radio in Prince Philip's bedroom?
Yes.
I remember that. That was a last minute...
Oh, my goodness, yes. Robert's radius. Well, yes. My husband loves them anyway. Geordie loves them, and I love them too. But, yes, we were running around doing things like that. Goodness me. Sometimes you can't always remember all the detail because it was slightly traumatic at the time. But it was a huge thing to do to get a castle.
I was very nervous for you on your behalf.
Thank you. But that was an amazing experience we had together. And from there, we'd worked incredibly hard to get to that point. And then from there, we sailed on continuing so that we weren't always quite so far behind.
Yes.
And we have now really moved round a lot of the galleried bedrooms and the gallery itself and the staircases. And I'm much more... familiar with many of your paint charts.
Yes, but also the fun bits haven't just been doing the sort of grander rooms. It's the back of house I've quite liked. You know, that corridor downstairs by the old kitchens and things, that was fun to do. And now what was the butler's room and things are now the tea rooms, which we had fun doing.
Yes. No, it was fun. I sort of think that when I was doing the floor there, that the less fun part was when I took the floor up to renew it, I found two layers of woodworm. So my budget for that went out of the window, to be honest. The floor was, I think, quoted at 5,000. It became 25,000 as we went to work on it. So I have those sort of memories as well, Sarah. But you helped me, and I think they look... both really chic and back of house. It's an interesting balance together.
And it's really nice to think back to the days where they did frankly feel a bit miserable. And now you see members of the public, the whole place is heaving and it's working and they're having their tea or their lunch. And it's just lovely.
Yeah. It is really nice. And again, in terms of the bathrooms and the electrics... And I still, when I began with you, compromised. So I only had one light switch going into a room. And I always find it now so annoying.
Because
usually I've wallpapered it.
Yes.
And I can't turn the light on until the other side of the room because it was cheaper to do that
than to get
the electrics
done.
But
now we do it, you know, properly.
Very exciting.
Yeah. No, it's great fun.
It is amazing. I mean... what are your thoughts when you walk into one of these rooms and, for example, the library? You helped me create the new wallpaper above the library, Sarah. So that's my thought. And I share with you the original colours, which in this case were a green colour from 1855, which I found in a cupboard. And then I asked you to be inventive, I suppose. And where do you start?
Well, I looked at the sort of... I love that library. Because to me, it's a really good example of Barry's work. I mean, the shutters, everything about it is just wonderful. But I looked at the sort of general colour of some of the leather-bound books, which have faded a bit, and I thought, we can't go for, you know, a really strong colour because it will make all the faded books look a bit downhill.
Faded, yeah.
So,
whereas I love them because they are faded with age and time, which is what we all become anyway.
Yes. So, and I think that that wallpaper we put in doesn't detract from the Barry architecture at all, which is the most important thing in the room. But it's a nice sort of two-dimensional background. Mm. And I think it gives, it's got a little bit of gold in it, hasn't it, that wallpaper?
It has its bluey and gold.
So
and
it gives it a little bit of a zing.
A little bit of a zing, which is absolutely lovely. And I think I've been longing to do the library because it had been painted a cream colour and it wasn't the priority, which I completely understand. My parents-in-law did an amazing job beginning to open the castle to the public and all the work that they did. And like me, everyone has priorities. So it was this rather dreary cream colour, which I know they would have thought as well. And it was so exciting to... I think this was specially commissioned, wasn't it, that particular wallpaper?
Yes. Well, it's an existing pattern.
Yes.
Which we slightly recoloured.
Yes.
But what I think is good about it is that if you walked in there, you're still going to look at the Barry architecture. You're not going to look at that wallpaper. It's there. Yeah. You're aware that it's not cream paint.
Yes.
But I don't think it's stealing the show, which is really important.
It is that balance, isn't it? Mm. Some of the bedrooms, which we've decorated on the first floor, were also used by Downton Abbey. And Portico bedroom is a beautiful, very parliamentary Coles wallpaper, because obviously Charles Barry was the architect of here in the Houses of Parliament. So it's sort of bearing the large scale that this building is on in mind. But that wallpaper, I think, is completely stunning. I think it was a Coles wallpaper.
Which they no longer do, I don't think. But also, I think that was the bedroom where
you spotted, what's the Westminster?
We spotted this lovely linen, which is hand-block printed, and it's still made. And didn't we have... So we kept some of it, and we had more printed for headboards and things.
Yes,
that was right.
You remember, you recognised it, which was phenomenal and part of your skill set. And amazingly, Watts of Westminster then printed another 10 metres for us. And then you rehung all the fringes for me, which my sister Lucy did actually. So we used what was there, added in, and I wanted a bedroom with twin beds in, because it's jolly useful for me. And that works really well, actually. And that was, I think, Lady Sybil's room.
Was it?
In Downton Abbey. And the one next door, which was a very pretty pale pink, which they then decided was Lady Edith's room in Downton Abbey, which they then rather too quickly painted a sort of dirty brown colour, which may have looked good on TV, but looked dreadful in real life, to be honest. Mm. And it did look good on TV and it did look dreadful in real life. And then they had to paint it back, but possibly not as well as it had. And then they stopped, actually, because they were then going to have to do it properly. And they found, after all, they liked my very pretty colours.
So, all quite complicated, but anyway. Yeah, that's interesting about what looks good on film and what looks good in reality. You know, if you're heavily made up, you know, if you see someone who's just done a modelling session, you think, God, they've laid it on with a trowel. But of course, in the photographs, they look great.
Yes, so definitely. And I do remember another one that sticks in my mind is the project which you helped with, which was to paint the red stairs, which are the original Georgian stairs for the house.
Yes.
And I don't think they'd been painted since about 1855.
That was quite daunting. Interesting, wasn't it? And daunting. And we hung that lantern on a big brass arm to get it centred over the stairs.
Yes, and the paint colour, that took a long time to choose. I had so many paint colours all the way up the wall. And the steps, the treads as well, either side of the red carpet. It's funny how long those took, and we had to scaffold the whole hallway, which was again quite expensive, and I was keen to take the top scaffolding down as quickly as I could, because every layer I took down saved a bit of money.
Yes.
But again, your advice is invaluable, because I can't get that colour wrong, because my aim is not to be doing it again.
Hopefully
but it's
not.
Lovely. Hopefully not.
And we introduced the off the sort of grey skirting, didn't we, going up that staircase, which they did a lot in times gone by because it sort of hid the dirt, you know, where you'd scrape the skirting, whatever. So it's quite practical and it looks authentic.
It looks authentic. The other thing I find is that a darker skirting board helps ground these absolutely really tall rooms.
Especially so if you've happy got huge, you know, on that staircase, you've got some very big pictures and things like that. And they need a bit of something underneath them, as you say, to ground them.
I sort of feel much happier. It's all shades of grey and brown. I started showing my husband, Geordie, some of the different colours for the skirting board. And he took one look and just couldn't imagine it, actually. And he said it looked like a sort of battleship or something. I said, well, it's probably called Battleship Grey, Geordie. It's very nice. And then he... And I do remember another time when you were helping me choose the colour for the gallery.
Oh, yeah. That was quite early on, wasn't it?
That was quite early on. And it's a very hard colour to choose because the light varies through the day and through the sides. So we must have had about 17 colours up there.
We do shades of... We did sort of two different shades of off-white, I think, up there.
We may have done. And I'd shown Geordie some of the colours. And he said, well, I don't really mind what you... Well, I had forgotten to show him, actually. So I then showed him the colours. I don't mind what you... I don't like that one, though. And of course, I said, oh, dear, I won't choose that one, but I'd already bought it. So that was the one which we'd chosen. I don't think he realises, or maybe he does, and he's given up with me, actually. But I think it looks phenomenal, and it does get scuffed. And again, the skirting boards are all a dark colour. And funny enough, it's usually Downton Abbey who scuff them most as they're putting their equipment or their lighting balloons around.
But Hoovers and things will do it.
Hoovers will do it very well, too.
Yeah. Mm.
Definitely. Do you have a favourite room here, Sarah? Or?
Well, I love the library because of the Barry sort of thing. But the thing I was thinking is the project that was really fun was doing Canning Bedroom. Because you wanted an extra bedroom for extra guests. And there's only a tiny little loo near Canning. So we put a bath in the room. And then the lovely Lou, who's now retired, who did drawings for us, designed two beautiful cabinets with sort of castellations on the top, a slight nod to the Victorian, to Highclere. And in one of them are clothes, and in the other is your basin with your mirror over it. And we hid the bath, do you remember, behind a screen. And it works really well.
It does.
Do people like staying in that?
I think it's just a joy. And you also bought the last of that fabric for the curtains, which I love. It's very country house and wonderfully old-fashioned. And
Chintz. Out of fashion.
It is probably out of fashion, yes.
But lovely.
But it is absolutely amazing. And we just had enough, actually, to make those curtains. And it's on one side of the screen, which is in front of the bath. So you both have a bit of privacy, but I'd always wanted to have a bath in a bedroom. Mm. Not everybody wants it because you want a bit of time out to yourself. But I think with the screen, it works really well. And I love the kind of wacky pink chair in the corner, which picks up a colour but is a bit out of kilter. Equally well, I'd found that chaise longue somewhere or other.
Mm. In one of the storerooms.
Yes.
And we just recovered it. It's great.
Beautiful. Yeah. I haven't yet slept in that room. I've slept in quite a few bedrooms because then I can figure out what works and doesn't work. Mm. But I haven't. So that's going to be a treat, actually, which I have in store for myself.
I wonder if you'd feel... You have got the bedrooms along the corridor on the other side of the stairs. But I wonder... And we've just been up there. I wonder whether you'd feel a little bit... on a limb if you were up there by yourself. I think you'd want to be in that room with someone else.
Yes, well, I could always invite... But you're quite right. And if I have friends to stay, that's, you know, I've got...
You'd always put a couple up there.
Yes, yeah. And along the corridor, actually. So you're not completely on a limb. It is a big house.
Yeah.
I have slept here. You know, there's always other staff around. But sometimes I'm fine with it. In the early days, I found it, again, quite daunting, yes. Sarah, because it seemed huge and you'd hear noises because you weren't used to it. And now I don't mind the noises as much. Mm. I have met the odd ghost here and there.
I was going to ask you that, yeah.
So, yes. You know, you very kindly helped me decorate Orient, which I adore, where I wrote The Earl and the Pharaoh book in this glorious colour of all the sand of Egypt. Yes. And then set against that the teal. And I used to go and work up there at sort of 3 o'clock, often 3 till 10, with two dogs normally, Stella and Freya, because they were great company and quite calm. And round about 5 o'clock, on quite a few afternoons, I used to hear footsteps going along the corridor outside it. It would sound like a man's footsteps, so I sort of hoped it was John Gunthill or someone bringing me a nice cup of tea or saying they were off now. And I leapt up one time, and of course, there was nobody there. And sometimes I found the footsteps companionable, and sometimes I think, I'm not going to stay here any longer, actually, and maybe I'll write tomorrow morning.
Do you think it was the butler? Because doesn't that corridor lead to sort of staff areas eventually?
It does. It does along there. So I don't... It was definitely a man's footsteps. So I've... That's one particular ghost. And then equally, well, I was writing the book Catherine, and I'd made such a mess of absolutely every single desk. You know, by the end of a deadline, I'm working in every different place with piles of papers and books as I'm trying to hit the deadline, which I pray to God I do. And I was sitting in the office, the castle office, which used to be Catherine's and the sixth Earl and his wife, yes. Catherine's bedroom and sitting yes. room and everything else. And it was 8 o'clock in the morning. I'd started early. I was near my deadline. And I heard a tea tray with beautiful china cups rattling. And I thought, how really kind. Diana Moyes, obviously bringing me a cup of tea, our housekeeper of the time. And I leapt up to open the door to let her in. Of course, there was nobody there. I didn't feel bad about it, so I thought I'll sit down and keep on writing, and it's the daytime. But I think there's a few people.
There must be. With so many staff. I mean, in its heyday, how many staff did this house have?
Well, there were 60 indoor staff.
Well,
I mean, there are a lot of bedrooms here. We've just gone to see behind the scenes of some of the old maids' rooms, and you go through Green Bay's door into... To recap, there are about 35 principal bedrooms, and there's 50 to 80 bedrooms in total. Yeah. So a lot of those staff lived in, and there were 14 footmen who lived where Louis's flat is now, and the racing room and all that kind of thing.
Well, so you just need to look at that board downstairs outside the tea rooms, you yes. know, with all the bedrooms and things, just, and you realise to service those in those days with people carrying hot water up and all the rest of it, you would have needed a lot of staff.
I think there were 250 families for whom the 5th Earl of Carnarvon felt responsible as we went into the First World War.
Yes.
So that was inside and in the ground. So that...
And after the First World War? Yes. Would have dramatically...
But do you know, he continued to pay the widows. He was such a fair man. And he bought the most enormous amount of tea bags and cheese as he went in. So there were some resources for all the estate. I loved writing The Earl and the Pharaoh. It was... I found it mentally exhausting to distill all the different themes. But what a time and what a couple the 5th Earl and his wife Armina were. But And thank you, because you have helped me decorate so many of their rooms, Sarah. And I know that we've been going up the tower today. Oh, my goodness.
Which is great. I love coming down here and seeing something new. I mean, I have been up there with you before, but not for a long, long time. So it was lovely to go up to that room.
It's extraordinary, isn't it? And just to think and to plan. And just to take the time out to reflect and contemplate rather than leap in. And I feel that's where we've got to now, because we've done this massive bedrooms, which all the visitors can see, you know, as they go around the first floor. And then we've done some other bedrooms, which are useful for, you know, family weekends. And then there's more to do.
But what I found really interesting about going up into that tower, which yeah. is the main tower of this house, is that Barry didn't give up. The Earl of Carnarvon, who commissioned it, didn't give up. You would have thought that most people would have run out of energy, money, but still we have beautiful shutters, beautiful plasterwork, charming little chimney pieces. It's a really lovely room. You would have not criticised them if... You just said, well, okay, well, let's do it more plainly here. You know, let's just paint it a colour. But they didn't. And I think that's fantastic.
it is, you know, one of the most beautiful rooms. And when people ask me what my favourite room is, I sometimes say the top of the tower, looking down at the cedar trees.
Well, the views are amazing.
But that room, I find just mind-blowing. It's so lovely. So lovely. And then we went to some of the rooms underneath and looking for ideas of where to go. So there's a coherence.
I'd love to know what they were used for originally. Be interesting if you've got it in your archive.
I can ask David Rymel, actually, but often, because those were probably used as staff rooms underneath that extraordinary room. The other thing is, the third Earl of Carnarvon commissioned Charles Barry, and the first stone was laid in 1842 to transform the earlier Georgian house into this iconic building today. The third Earl died in 1849. It was by no means finished.
No.
So it was his son, the fourth Earl, who then finished it. So the dreams, the vision, the ideas of the third Earl were changed, and the tower was one of the last things to be done.
Oh, how interesting. So that wasn't part of the original scheme?
It was within the third Earl, yes.
Oh.
The third Earl had commissioned it, but the fourth Earl was then finishing his father's project. Mm. Or perhaps the third Earl's widow, Henrietta, was, because she continued to live here during that time, as far as I understand.
And that explains why upstairs, in some of those bedrooms along the corridors, not the main ones, we have Georgian chimney pieces, which must have been taken out of the Georgian house.
Yes. So it comes back to everything is like all of our lives today, a bit muddled up in the end, but it works.
But it makes sense. It's charming. I love the fact that some of those chimney pieces are Georgian. It's all part of the history.
It is. And another room that I remember you helped me with, which is beautiful, is the bedroom Wessex on the top floor. I think the floor isn't quite where it should be, but the colour of the walls and that the chimney piece in there is exquisite.
It's lovely. And is that the one? I get so confused with all these bedrooms. and I haven't been up there since before COVID. Is that the one with the lovely tower bathroom?
Yes, you're right.
And we chose that lovely wallpaper, which is palm fronds going up. It sounds awful on the radio, but it's really beautiful. And it accentuates the height of it. But I think, you know...
That's fun.
What fun to have a circular bathroom with a hugely high ceiling in a tower.
It is completely amazing. And again, you rescued the linen curtains, which are beautiful. And like the ones we've already discussed from Almina's time, so from before the First World War, and we have upcycled them again, redlined them and refringed them.
Yeah.
And it's got this crazy pink headboard, which I love. So it's just a bit of fun, a bit of modern, and then always remembering the extraordinary creation this building was, which I always find quite interesting. And I love wallpapers. Mm. And you don't let me wallpaper everywhere.
No, you can't wallpaper everywhere. Absolutely not. There aren't enough nice wallpapers to go around.
but I think some of the... And I love some of the colours as well. But I have become an enthusiastic about all the different colours. And I think with your tutelage, have become much closer to the colours and what you can achieve with colour in a space. Mm. And when you go into a space or a house, you must be working with a client, with a set of ideas or colours, and you're trying to interpret it. How do you approach a project when you go into a client's house?
I think it's not all about me. I mean, I think there are some people who... They want people to go in and say, oh, that's obviously by whoever. I think the house needs to reflect the client. If it's a historical house like this, one needs to definitely bear that in mind in a big way and try not to get it wrong and try and respect that. But I think it's working with the client and trying to understand how they live. You know, they might be avid readers, in which case you have to give them a lot of book space. They might be huge entertainers, in which case you need to know how many people are they trying to entertain and how are you going to make that house work to do that. So that's the sort of practicalities. And then you get to know someone and you get to know that they love colours. Like I know Geordie likes blue. So we're always really, really safe. with Geordie and Blue. It's true. If we suggest something else, he'll go, oh, I don't like that. But blue and green.
He likes chintz.
He likes chintz. He likes blue and green. We know we're safe there.
Whereas I'm more careful about the chintz. I love it in places, but not all over.
Yeah.
And I like a bit of wacky colour, I suppose.
Yeah.
But whereas I think in the gardens, it's the reverse. I prefer a more coherent colour. And he, like his father, loves the bright reds and the spots of brightness. So we reverse inside and out.
But your gardens can take it because they're huge. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is quite fun.
Yeah.
When you talk to people, are you looking for their idea of what their colours they like? Or
yes. And you know, I want people to be comfortable, you know, and I think that's one of the things I try to do because, you know, at the end of the day, you've got to live and you've got to enjoy being in your space. But yeah, you get to know people, frankly.
The other thing you've helped them with are two of our wonderful short stays, Grotto and London Lodge.
London Lodge was your great project, wasn't it?
It was huge, yes. It had no roof, hardly any walls. And we've reinterpreted a gateway from 1793 and turned it into a short let. So you have a bathroom and bedroom one side and a sitting room and kitchen the other.
Umbrella stands in both areas. Yes. As if you want to go and have your breakfast and it's pouring with rain, there's no way out except for outside.
But there's coffee in the bedroom. So that, I think, is really important.
I loved doing that. Mm. That was such fun. And do you rent that out a lot?
We do. It's got lots of the blues and the greens, which I love. But I think, I suppose, the soft greens is what I think bringing the outside in, which is my garden coming in, which is where you've gone with that one. And again, illuminated some of the colours with some wacky colours as well.
That was much easier than Grotto.
Crikey, yes.
Which is lovely, but it's circular. So circular rooms are quite tricky to deal with. But we managed it.
Yes, and I think, yes, and I made a circular patio outside and put a circular table on it. And actually had a slightly curved breakfast table made as well, so everything is slightly curved.
I always thought that would be perfect if you were a writer. Oh, well, you are, but if you know, to rent it for 6 months and think I'm going to lock myself in here in the woods in this circular place. Isn't there a famous picture of Edward VII outside it
there
on
is.
A shooting party? Yeah,
yes,
but I think that would be the most wonderful hideaway.
It is. I think it's completely magical. There was a fire running up the middle of it, you know, an old open fire. And I put a log burner in its place, which means then there's heat going through the middle because it's perhaps not the warmest of houses otherwise. We've managed, I think, to put the odd radiator here and there, but the log burner is completely essential.
Well, we need to get a writer.
Yes, find a writer somewhere. Yeah. That's not me.
Be perfect.
But so I'm really looking forward to working with you in 2024. We've got some of, certainly my, I think yours as well, favourite rooms in the entire castle going up towards the tower. I think there are 13 rooms in that tower.
Gosh.
And it's just beginning with one or two to slowly step into them and understand how we can create and make and bring the space back to life, I think.
Yes. Well, one of the things I noticed when we went up there is, of course, there wasn't health and safety in Barry's day. So there's this wonderful staircase, but there's no handrail, anything like that. And I think we need to talk about that because I think if you've got people going up there...
Even a few friends or patrons of friends of high
school. Well, you don't really want your friends killing themselves up a spiral staircase.
No, most
inconvenient. Maybe we should do some handrails. Rope, I think.
Yes, no, I think some rope would be very nice, actually. It really would. But we've got it. This castle is extraordinary. I mean, I think there are 250 to 300 rooms, and we've had a jolly good go at making our way through quite a lot of them. But it nevertheless feels endless, sometimes overwhelming, sometimes really exciting. I'm excited about putting Northumberland back together with you. And then after that, there's this green baize door where you go to the back of the house on the top floor. we can see. But my aim is to get to that green baize door.
Well, some of those rooms behind the green baize door are actually very useful. We just went into one today where someone, very sensible, has corralled spare rolls of wallpaper.
My sister Lucy.
Off cuts of fabrics, which you never know will come in very handy if there's a leak or something. So I think some of those rooms should stay as sore rooms.
They need to stay as they are. And the wallpaper room is because whenever I wallpaper a room, I buy one or two extra rolls so that I can hopefully patch rather than redo, which is a jolly... Probably your suggestion to me, Sarah.
Probably. Sounds like that sort of practical.
But it's really practical, for which I continually value your advice. I can't thank you for all you've done with me, actually. There's no way I could have approached this extraordinary project. You've helped me with other cottages as well. Oh, my goodness. Just to have the right furniture in the right place so it's comfortable to sit down and have a gossip, to sit down and relax because the colours are coherent. I have learnt so much from you and I am so grateful for all your help. And
well, it's fun.
And I've got to know James McWhirter, the other half of McWhirter, yes, a little bit, through acquiring some furniture through him.
Yes.
Bookshelves and things like that have been fantastic too. So it's been a joy. I love popping into your shop in London.
We love you popping in.
It's all things to see. It is such joy. And it's my goodness, I don't know how you keep hold of all your swatches and how you catalogue it, but...
Well, because I like what I do, you know? Mm. And if you like what you do, out of the chaos hopefully comes some creativity.
And
you've been to my office. It's full of... I don't let some people in there, but you like it. It's full of baskets, full of bits. And they're sort of an inspiration, and you tip a basket onto the floor and you go, oh, that's nice. Mm. That would be perfect, you know? Mm. Lovely colours, lovely touchy-feely fabrics and things.
I always ran you for all the cushions because I find cushions and that lot so hard in this house. But as I said, I've learned a lot and I have loved every step of the way.
It was fun.
It was an extraordinary place to start.
Yes.
And may we have many extraordinary adventures to continue together, Sarah.
Absolutely.
So it's been a complete joy. So thank you, Sarah, so much.
Well, thank you.
I'm looking forward to working with you this year, actually.
Excellent.
What
good.
Fun. Thank you.
I think we've got a sofa to go and look at now, haven't we?
We do. You're right. In the North Library, your favourite room.
Yes.
Perfect. Thank you. Why not join me to enjoy a plethora of fascinating topics, guests and friends from the world of Highclere Castle, the real Downton Abbey? Whether you love movies or care about the planet, wish to discover the best gardening or cooking tips, hear about innovation, music or the history of flight, I hope you will thoroughly enjoy the library we have created on my podcast page at ladycanavan.com.